Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A New Day Show. I am the queen of the empowered soul, and I'm so blessed to be your host this morning. And today, I am broadcasting out of New Milford. Normally, I'm broadcasting out of Brookfield, but with some time constraint this morning, I have switched bases. So I am broadcasting out of New Milford this morning, and it's a bit damp here. However, it is still a God-bless glorious day, and I'm excited about today's show because we have two very powerful guests. Our first guest this morning will be Kareem the Coach, K of Life Smith, and he's out of New York. I'll be bringing him on momentarily. And the second episode will be, I call her the Jackrabbit Lady, and she's none other than Leslie Householder. So I'm going to ask you to just join us for both episodes and call your friends and neighbors and relatives and let them know that today's show is for them. I want to welcome Connie Colbert in the chat room. Connie, I thank you for joining us, and I'm just so excited to have everyone on here. So, Coach K, good morning, sir. How are you?
Blessed as always, Daphne. How are you?
I am blessed. You know, every day that I turn my eyes to the window, and I realize I'm still acknowledging the leaves on the trees outside. I tell people I don't have a curtain up at one of my windows in my bedroom because I just want to keep looking outside and to acknowledge the blessings that I have. And this was one of those days that I was alive to acknowledge those things. So I am
Amen
super blessed. Yes, yes.
Amen
so
today.
I am excited because you and I, we have never met. We are all a Blog Talk family. And occasionally I bring on people from the family. I do the same thing with my cable show. I have other hosts on so that other people can hear about them because a lot of times we focus on the guests that we bring on, and the listeners don't normally know who we are and what we are about. So I decide occasionally to have some of the Blog Talk hosts on so we can all learn about what makes them tick and what their journey is all about. So thank you for agreeing to come on the show this morning.
Oh, it was my honor and pleasure, and I thank you for having me. I mean, anytime I'm invited to speak wherever or interviewed, I'm always blessed to do so because the fact is I have to be doing something right in the eyes of God to have this opportunity come my way. So I truly appreciate it. I never take anything for granted.
Yes, you know, we are all servants, and, you know, it's important when we get an opportunity to serve that we do it in the best of our ability. So, Kareem Smith.
Yes.
Before he became the Coach K of Life, tell us about your humble beginning. Where were you born, and what was your childhood like?
Well, I was born in in the Bronx, New York, and my family, you know, I was born into the world by Howard and Lorraine Smith. They divorced when I was young, but the beautiful thing was I was able to have both of them still in my life. Though I live with my mother, I frequently spend time with my father. Now, both of them had children with different, you know, different spouses at later times in their life. So I wound up being blessed with a brother and a sister in my life. And it was a beautiful thing. You know, my sister, Nicole, my brother, Lamont, I love them with all my heart because, you know, they're younger than me. They look up to me still to this day. I still call them my baby brother and sister, and I love them so much. And they're like, listen, don't call me no baby, but, you know.
That's right. I'm grown. So you from the Boogie Down Bronx. Boogie Down Bronx, right? That's where all the happening is taking place. Yes, so, you know, what you just shared with us, it is just an affirmation that your beginning is not as important as your journey and where you finish, because a lot of people look on being part of a single-parent household as a crutch not to perform.
Yeah.
But you're here to tell people that just that is a stimulus to get you to propel ahead. You did not use that as a barrier. You knew you had something to do. And you just played the hand that you were dealt to the best of your ability.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at it from this standpoint. See, my parents taught me that, listen, things are going to happen in life. You have to keep marching forward. And when my father was alive, you know, he passed away in 1995. When he was alive, he showed me something of the value of hard work, because instead of giving us an allowance, he said, listen, let's go to work. You want your money? You're going to work. So we, you know, my brother and I, we learned how to work at a young age. My mother instilled in me the fact of just being nice to people, you know, saying hello, being respectful to my elders. How you doing? Yes, sir. No, sir. Ma'am. Thank you, sir. So on and so on. And they instilled this into me to a point that as I grew older, I just started making so many friends in my life. And, you know, just people respected me for my work, and they also respected me for the respect I gave them. And it was a beautiful thing that they showed me that in my upbringing, because now I take it out into the world, and I just bring it to everyone else.
Your mom sounded like she was from the West Indies someplace, man. Was she
she's right from New York. She's from New York City. Bronx, New York. My father was from North Carolina, though.
From the South, because, you know, I visited North Carolina a couple of years back, and I realized that our values are the same. I am a grown woman, and when I go back to Jamaica, people I knew when I was a kid who they are still alive, I still call them Mr. and Sir and Ma'am, and they look at me and they say, oh, nurse, you are grown. No, you don't have to call us that anymore. But I'm looking and I'm thinking, that's the way I was brought up. How can I call
same
them?
As well.
You know, by their
same
first.
Same as I.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to at this time just welcome, though there are quite a few people. Oh, in the chat room, we have Cece, we have Paul, we have guests to 11, we have D.A. Williams, we have all the power breakers in the chat room. So they come
out
first, man. So that's a good thing.
Well,
okay.
That's my love for them as well, because, you know, since I've been on Blog Talk Radio, I've made so many friends inside this realm. It's just an added family to me, just another
wonderful
added family to me. And I love each and every one of them, you know, because they all bring something fresh and new to me. And it's like, yes. And this is the reason why when I go on my radio show and whatever, I go with that energy, because I know I have that positive energy feed into me. So if it's coming to me, I'm going to give it to you.
Yes, yes. We are just here as a blessing and for adding value, not only to the listeners, but also to our colleague. And every day that I come on here, I am praying that there's even one value that I can add to the listeners and also to my colleagues on Blog Talk. So it's a blessing to have them join us this morning. Now, we just spoke about your humble beginnings, growing up in the Bronx, your parents getting divorced at a tender age. Let us now fast forward to the beginning of your journey to where you are now. Let's talk about that, please.
Well, let's put it this way. My journey, I understand, even though with my parents being, they brought me up in a certain way. Now, I went through the problems that pretty much we all went through in our lives somewhere along the line, teenage peer pressure, so on and so on. I'm a high school dropout. I'm not a high school dropout anymore. I dropped out of high school at the tender age of 16. But the fact is, I went back at 21 to get my GED. The funny thing is, in that time of that process, oh, believe me, I went through a lot because even my mother, a lot of people don't know, she experienced a good 10 years of drugs. And thank God she got out, saved, born again, sanctified. Woo! Holy Ghost shouting, thank you, Father. Excuse me for saying it that way, but I saw what happened. And in between that time, I went through the process of finding myself, well, gee, what do I do? I didn't understand God. I didn't understand Jesus. I didn't understand life. I got my first real sales job. And all of a sudden, everything started clicking. Everything. And it just took its time, but I went through the highs and lows, believe me. I saw it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But the fact is, God keeps me moving forward, and that's the only way I know how to go, is forward. And people always ask, what is my secret to success? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's God, family, and business. Bottom line, I put it that way. I keep it in that order. The day I take it out of that order, the day if I put my family before God, the day I put my business before God or whatever, or mix it up whichever way, I know that's a solution to failure, and I'm not about failure.
That's right.
So I keep it God, family, and business.
You mentioned about being a high school dropout. And,
yes.
Well, who else? There's another prominent a person we all know about who was also a high school dropout, and isn't that Bill Gates?
Yes, something of that nature, wasn't it?
One of those prominent IT people.
I think it was him.
You know,
but did he go to college?
Exactly. But the thing is that when we encounter life obstacles, those are molding times. Because instead of getting anxious and panic and say, well, I'm a failure or I'm no good, we should sit back and dissect the situation and say, well, hey, there's a lesson here for me. What am I going to learn from this? You know, what do
yes.
I learn about myself during this time? Did you find out that during the time when you were when you made the decision not to go to school, because I don't think you dropped out. I think you made the decision to stop going. You know,
there was a reason for it, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying there was not a reason, but regardless of what the reason was, there were several decisions that could have been made, and the one that you made, or the road you took, was not to go back to school, regardless of what the reason was. So during that time, what did you learn about Kareem Smith?
Well, here's one of the things I learned about it, and this is what I learned from me, was the fact that I had talent. I just didn't know how to unleash it. And I also learned that, you know something? You don't get younger, you get older.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get older, responsibilities start becoming greater. And
mm-hmm.
what I learned from that was, hey, things are not going to get any easier for me if I don't have an understanding of where I'm at right now and try to figure out how to get to where I need to be. And
right.
it was one of those decisions. I mean, the main reason that I did leave school was for my grandmother's health. But the fact was, I did that. And
mm-hmm.
it was like, okay, I got to do what I got to do on this situation because my mother was going through her process of what she was going through.
Right.
But I turned it into a positive situation because my grandmother always said to me, listen, I love you. You're my heart. Just please go back to school and get your education.
Right.
If there's anything, and she said, because you're a black young man, please go back and get your education because it means that much to you as well as it does to me. And I said, you know what? We used to call her Nene. I said, Nene, I promise I will go back to school. I didn't know when I was going back, but the fact was I was going back, and I did go back at the age of 21. And the funny thing is I had my first sale before I had my actual degree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kareem, hold on. Coach K, hold on a minute. We have a caller on the air, and if it's okay with you, sir, I want to take the questions as
we
go.
I will take any comment, question, anything. Feel free to call in.
Right. I want to just put the question in between our conversation. So, good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Daphne. This is Paul Van. I'm
calling. I know that voice anywhere.
In support of Coach K.
Good morning, Mr. Van, and thank you so much for joining us, sir. Do you have a question this morning?
I sure do, and I wanted to ask Coach K in person. I know he's mentioned, and I've done some research on him, that he's been one of the top salespeople in this country, and I want to know if he could provide a behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to become a top salesperson, because salespeople are the highest-paid people in the world. I'll get off the phone and let him talk.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
Paul, thank you for calling. How you doing, by the way, before you run? Listen, you want to understand what it takes to be a top salesperson. I'm going to be honest with you. It takes you understanding one thing. You can do it right now. You can do it because the fact is we all have been given a brain by God. We all have been given legs, so on and so on. We all been given a voice. Take that voice, go out there, don't worry about fear. Because you can't please God if you have fear in your life. Because he didn't give you a spirit of fear, he gave you a spirit of a sound mind. So go out there and understand you can do it. Just don't believe what people tell you on the sense of you can't do it. Because at 20 years old, I went outside of New York City, the toughest sales spot in the world. I'm going to tell you right now, New York City is the toughest sales spot in the world. But the fact is, it took me 2 weeks to sell a bottle of perfume. I got cursed out. I got called all kinds of names. And I promise you this, the day I got that first sale, my life changed. And the funny thing is, it was a $2 sale. I've sold over, in my lifetime, close to maybe $150 million sales. I can tell you right now that I know of. It's probably more. But the fact is, I believed in myself. If you believe in yourself and you know one thing, that God is on your side, who can be against you, then you're good. Go out there, have fun, sell what you can. Just make sure you believe in your product. Because if you don't believe in your product, do not sell it. Because what's going to happen is, in the long run, you're going to find yourself in a position of saying, man, that was a bad decision. So if you can't believe in your product, don't sell it. Because guess what? You can be a top sales rep. And this is why a lot of people call on me to come speak to their people. It's because I believe in the products I sell. If I don't believe in it, I'm not selling it.
Coach K.
Yes.
I want to expand on that question that Paul asked you. And
okay.
Because maybe this is going to be more comfortable for people to do. Why don't you give us a checklist? What are some of the things, if you are considering being one of the top salespeople in the world, because I know people is listening from all over the world. If you would give us a checklist, what would some of the things be? The first thing I have on this checklist, because you said believe in God, so I see that would be number one. You then believe in yourself, which was number two, and number three, you said believe in your product. So what would some of the other things be?
Well, you got that mentality that you're going to go out there and take on the world. If you notice my mission statement, it says I'm on a mission to motivate the world. And now I have a Coach K Nation to follow me. So when you go out there, you got to go take on the world. You got to say to yourself, hey, listen, 100 people may say no to me. But the fact is, somewhere along the line, 10 to 20 people are going to say yes to me. Now, it may not seem like, well, that's very little. But when you look at your commission check, honestly, and then when you look at all the work you went through just to earn that money, put it in your pocket, you're going to say to yourself, wow, it was well worth it. So, as always state, some will, some won't, some maybe. I'm just looking for the people who are trying to find me. See, that's the next thing you need to understand. You got to understand the law of averages. And if you understand the law of averages, you know you're going to talk to everybody and their mother because you never know who is going to say yes. Just like a young.
So number four then would be your attitude. Would you say that?
Oh yeah.
And
attitude,
on what other? I'm just trying to get the listeners to be able to develop a list. So we are already. We have four things. We have believe in God. Believe in yourself, believe in your product. You got to keep your attitude in check. And what would that other thing be?
Law of averages was number five.
Law of averages.
Yes.
You
got to play the numbers game.
That?
You have to play the numbers game. If you do not play the numbers game, you're not going to succeed. See, a lot of people go out there, they'll talk to 10 people. 10 people say no to them. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to walk away and say, this doesn't work. What you got to understand is, this is God's test to you. So the law of average is saying, go out there, keep talking to people, because you're going to hit, just like a singer has to hit a high note. Eventually, they're going to hit that high note. So you got to go out and keep talking to people. Someone's going to say yes. Some will, some won't, some maybe. They're going to say, someone's going to say yes. You just have to be in line for that. Now, the next thing you need to understand is you have to build relationships.
Uh-huh.
If you do not understand how to build a relationship, you're in trouble.
That's
because
right.
There are salesmen. There are salesmen that are hunters and there are salesmen that are farmers. And I'm going to make this promise. The hunter will eat only once in a while. The farmer will continue to eat every single day.
Coach, Coach K, can I interrupt you a hot minute?
Sure.
I rather the term salespeople, because they got some
no
powerful sales system too, you know.
Yes, you are so right. Actually, if you honestly, if you ask me, I think women are the best salespeople on this earth. You know, a friend of mine, him and I had a conversation. We both agreed. Listen. Nobody can sell like a woman.
That's
see,
right.
Men, we go out there, we'll sell one way, but a woman will put that loving touch on it, and it is like, wow, I have no problem with that.
We are born lovers and nurturers. We don't know how to do anything other than that. You know, if we cannot give our best, then we don't do it at all. So do you have any other items on the checklist for us for being powerful salesperson?
Yes. Here's one that's very important. A lot of people don't understand. It's practice. See, I know I can sell, but you know what? Just like when I practice my speeches, I practice how to sell. Because you can walk into a store and think you know how to sell a person,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, yeah, I got this down. But then there'll be that day that you run into that little situation of, wait a minute, what was that scenario? I don't remember
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to practice. And one of the things I do with a lot of clientele is I put them together and I say, listen, you practice with this one, you practice with this one. I want you to throw so many rebuttals at each other that your toes, your fingers get so cold, so numb that you're like, why is this guy bothering me? That's how bad I want you, and just put you in that position of saying, okay, I practiced. You never saw a year that went by when Michael Jordan was in the NBA
mm-hmm.
that they talked about
mm-hmm.
just his scoring. You always heard about what he did to get there. You
mm-hmm.
still to this day always hear about what he did to get there because he had to practice.
Right.
And I
Coach
mean,
K.
Yes.
Coach K, we
yes,
have
I'm
a caller on, but before I take the caller, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
As one of the world's greatest salesperson, have you found out that as a salesperson, you need to concentrate on filling a need, or you are maybe solving a problem? Do you find that that is so in your career?
Could you repeat that one more time? You came in and out.
As one of the world's top salesperson, do you think it is important to concentrate on filling a need? I know we all have a product to sell, but if we can convince the customer that what we have will fill a need, do you find that that is important as well?
That's very important. Now, what you need to understand, that's not always the case because sometimes you'll find yourself selling something that may be a want to them. And it depends on every scenario is different. Every product is a little different, but the majority of the time, yes, you're filling a need. But if you look at it from a standpoint of, let's just say, home.
Okay, caller, I think we lost Coach K, so if you just hold on with your question. No, I lost them both. Okay. So, the people in the chat room. Okay, call back in. Call back in, Coach K. Yes, I lost them, so we have to just wait until they call in. We also had a caller on. So for the people in the chat room, we just wait for Coach K to call back in. So Coach K, just go ahead and call back in. We are still on the air. So call back in, please. Okay. Well, good morning.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that you're back on.
Yes.
Yes, you know, when the energy gets so hot up in here, the technology can't keep up with us, you know?
You got that,
so,
right.
we had a caller on, but just after we lost you, that caller hung up. So, caller, you were calling from 775. If you would call us again, then we can get your question. So, I'm glad that you were able to get back on, Coach K. Yeah, we were talking about filling a need because, let me ask you a question. You mentioned about selling perfume. When you just started out, were you selling the Centura Creation perfume, those knockoffs? Oil?
I was selling perfume. I was actually selling wholesale perfume, and it was a vendor called Observe de la Sance, and what they were doing was what they was trying to do was get you to sell perfume in the middle of New York City. And basically, that's what I did.
All right.
I said, 2 weeks.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to find that out because I used to sell those knockoff perfumes on Centura Creation as well. But, you know, we started the conversation. Yes, we started the conversation about filling a need because, you know, we are not up on a pedestal. When I say we, I mean the listeners, myself, and everybody else who is in the chat room. We are not on a pedestal saying we are salespeople, but we are, you know, because some of us, we sell in our coaching career, we sell in products, we sell in inspiration, motivation, whatever it is. We are all salespeople, but for me, the bottom line is that I find out it's important to solve the person's problem and to fill the need, whatever their need is, because once you fill a need or solve a problem, then you have a client or customer for a lifetime.
Right. Well, I'll put it this way. Go back to building relationships. That's the reason why you do that, is because you're not just going to walk into a store, you know, and just sell anything just like that. you're going to find out what their needs are. And you have
yes.
to build that relationship. See, one of the things I've done over a 17-year career is build relationships that has lasted 17 years.
That's
not
right.
Just one of those, not one of those relationships that I said, okay, thank you very much, have a good day. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been days where I've sold people and I've never seen them again. But the majority of my sales, I built the relationship. See, when you sit down, you'll find one thing about people. They love to talk about themselves. And what's the one thing they love to talk about more is their children. They will talk to you about their children all day if they have children. And I can promise you this, they will talk all day about their children. All you got to do is understand. Listen to them. And I'm going to tell you like this. I have so many godchildren from sales that I made in the past that, thank God, they don't charge me child support because I have that many godchildren. Honestly, it's crazy. Because I built relationships over the years. You build them, they'll stay with you. You build them, they'll become loyal. You build them, they'll trust you. You build them, they'll give you referrals.
Exactly, because you know something? I tell people a lot of time, because I do a lot of work with families and children and all of that, and I tell people in the community, I say, we are all parents. Not all of us are biological, but we are parents of the community. Coach K, we only have 28 minutes remaining in this episode. I would like for you to take an opportunity and tell the listeners, please, how to get in touch with you.
Okay. Here's my phone number, my office number. My hours are from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's a reason for that. It's because I found myself in a position where my phone was ringing off the hook after 5 p.m. So 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., you can call me at 914-364-9797. Also, if you like to contact me via email, you can go to thecoachk, which is T-H-E, Coach K at live.com. Or if you want to, listen, I have a bunch of websites. So the best way to do it is go to my Blog Talk Radio website where I have pretty much all the links there. blogtalkradio.com/THE-COACH-K. You can find all of my links there. You can find my Coach K Life webs, which is about from the CoachKLife.com, when I'm about to avail my brand new website, which is, wow. I am so happy that website is about to become alive.
Okay.
But as of right now, it's at webs.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. Now, you're a very successful gentleman, and you shared earlier on about your humble beginnings, but I know that since you grew up, things was not always hunky-dory smooth sailing. What are some of the challenges that you have encountered in your successful career?
As far as my career goes, I've encountered selling great amounts of products and being underpaid. I've actually had situations where people wouldn't pay me. I've had issues where I was fired from two positions on bogus charges, which both of them I was cleared of because, like the Bible says, the truth will set you free. So bottom line on that one, I've dealt with it all. I've dealt with the people getting in the situation of saying, you're this, you're that, you're a crook, yada, 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 yet I kept striving for the goal. Because you know what? The only way I know how to do anything anymore is by just keep moving forward. Because if you decide to take that step back and to sit there, what's going to happen is eventually you're going to allow that fear to come into your system, which shouldn't be there in the first place because you wasn't given a spirit of fear. So do not allow doubt and fear get into your way. I've been through it all. I've actually had a guy hold me up in his office. Because all I simply asked for was my check. And I asked him nice. I said, you know, I've come to get my check. And he puts a gun on the table and says, you're not getting it.
Well, Was this a boss, a supervisor, or a customer?
No, this was an actual supervisor of mine.
Interesting. You noticed
that
before you mentioned that you have gone through a lot of people saying this, that, and the other. So would you consider those labeling, or was it in a diverse situation that these are like name callings or whatever was taking place? And was it because of your color, your gender, or your performance? Why did you think these things were happening to you?
Oh, quite a few reasons. Well, for starters, both of the reasons I got fired was because of jealousy.
Ah.
Okay, and it was one of those things where they were trying to find, the first time they were trying to find any and everything as to why I was selling so good. So apparently, that's how that one went down. Then the second time was over a woman that was my business partner. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Never touched this lady, never thought about it in that way. Her and I were the best of friends. Both of us were married. We wasn't even thinking that. Our job was to go outside, find customers. That's all we did. But the fact was, my supervisor had a thing for her. I didn't know till it was after the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
He wound up costing the whole company, because of this whole situation, he wound up costing the whole company the contract.
Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because, you know, this is why it is so important in portraying the right attitudes in the workplace, because things can be misconstrued and there's a lot of miscommunication that takes place, you know. But I am just so happy that through it all and through all those challenging and obstacles, you have succeeded to be here today and to be sharing your story with us. But these are all eye-openers and lessons for us to learn on and to be careful, especially when you have opposite gender as business partners.
Yes.
To make sure their spouses understand that this relationship is indeed a professional relationship, because I think these things happen when we keep our spouses or significant others on the outside of what we are doing, and they don't have a clear understanding of the kind of relationship we are in, so they get confused.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, that's a beautiful
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a beautiful thing of understanding something about business. And what people need to realize is you can actually do business with the opposite sex because you do it every day. I mean, honestly, it's not a hard thing to do. You just have to remember to remain professional. One of the things that a lot of women like with me is the fact that they know I'm not there to try to hit on them like some of these guys like to do. They know that, hey, listen, you may be attractive, but honestly, I'm about business, and I'm about putting food on my family's table. The other stuff,
okay,
you can have.
Coach K, we
yes.
have a caller.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Pastor Variance, good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
I think
Pastor
she might be
Variance?
Just listening. Oh, she's just listening. I see the thing in the chat.
Okay. Do you have a question? All right. I guess she does not.
Yes, she's at work, no problem.
How do you balance family and business? What are some of your pointers for doing that?
God. Honestly, God. Because I can't do it without him. If you want to do anything in life, you can't do it without God. I tell people all the time, you can't dream bigger than what God can deliver. And I know for a fact, because You can call me all the different titles you want, from president, CEO, to top salesman. When it comes, it's all down to I'm a God-fearing man.
Yes.
I'm even Mr. Mom during the days. So even when I'm working, I'm cleaning the house. Even when I'm working with a business client, guess what? I'm cooking dinner. So you got to remember, God is first. That's how I balance it. You got to put God first. You have to understand God is going to put you in that place of saying, okay, you can do this, you can do that. Plan out your day. Plan this way. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, just like how we tell our children, you can't do this, you can't do that, and they try to do it anyway. You got to back up and say, listen, I'm going to do it God's way and not my way. You're going to lean to his understanding and not my own.
Okay, okay. Yes, I understand clearly. And, you know, it is so refreshing to hear you say that, especially in a time when a lot of America's family has lost the trend of having family meals together. And I tell people all the time, whether or not you're having a glass of Kool-Aid for dinner, you should sit as a family and have a conversation around that. Find out how the Mother's Day was, how the Father's Day was, and how was the Children's Day at school, because we have lost that as a family. So it's a real refresher to hear you say that the way you balance your family and business is because of your belief, your faith, and your strong belief on God.
Yes, that's the way you have to do it. I've learned it. I mean, it took me a long time, but guess what? I'm there. And you know what? I'm more successful now than I was then. And
exactly,
that's because of God. Understanding who's in control, God.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand. God is not in control until you allow him to be in control. Once you allow him, then guess what? You're on your way to success. You're on your way to the top. You're on your way to do whatever you want and the
mm-hmm.
desire of your heart.
That's right. That's right. It's, you know, you are so right. It's not about you. Especially when you understand that we were all created for a purpose in life, you know? God knows the problem he had for us to solve. And so long as we still ourselves and listen to him, we would not be running around in circles and have them like we are chasing our tails, you know?
Yeah.
So knowing that he's in charge is our first understanding that our success depends on him. And I want to remind the callers that the call-in number is 646-915-816. And for the people in the chat room, they're having a big old party there. They forget that they're supposed to be asking questions. So I want to encourage them to ask questions. We have another 16 minutes remaining
in
this episode, and we are going to go into your closing thoughts. What can we look forward to from you, the Coach K. Smith, in the near future or even up to 5 years? What can we look forward to?
Well, as of, you know, a couple of days ago, through my prayer time, I'm being led to take my career to another level. So this is why I came up with the notion of the Coach K Nation, which is people that are going to follow me to the point of understanding that we're all on this mission to motivate the world. Because you know what? Teams basically stands for together everybody achieves more. Well, I'm going to say today, together everybody achieves more success, and we're going to do it together. So I'm taking my career to another level. And when I say I'm taking it to another level, I mean I'm taking it to a level that you're going to have to be in line with this vision. You're going to have to run with this vision to understand it, because we have so much negativity in this world, and it's time to start bringing back the positivity that we once had. You know, we need to go back to the days of having the block parties with the whole neighborhood. We need to go back to the days of a village taking care of a child. So I'm going to just keep motivating this world, and my career is going to help me get there. And like I said, the Coach K Nation, I got quite a few people in here who is a part of this nation right now that understands where I'm going with this. And the radio show is going to take each and every person to another level. See, I don't just give you the rah-rah speech. I give you meat. I give you something that you can walk away from and say, hey, listen, Coach K made a said a wise thing the other day that I need to take with me. He put me in that way. And
okay,
Coach
K, would you hold a minute?
I see a couple of questions in the chat room. I just want to say.
Yeah. Hold on, please. We have a question in the chat room. How do you motivate yourself?
Every morning, I wake up, I thank God that he's given me another day of life. And for those that don't know, I wake up every morning pretty much. I have to feed my cat the first thing while I'm saying good morning to God, because she will not allow me to do anything without her. So I kind of keep her with me as well. So as I'm going to the kitchen, I'm praying and I'm dancing, because I'm already saying God has given me another day of life. So like that song by Stevie Wonder, he says, always I'll be loving you. That's how I feel about God. So when I think about God, I'm motivated. I wake up, I'm dancing. I don't know too many people who wake up dancing in the morning, but I'm one of them. So I'm always motivated. It's just one of those things where I just got to look at the fact of God is first in my life. My family is very important to me. Understand business is going to be there. I trust in him over all, because if I don't trust in him over all, I'm going to find myself in a position of trying to figure out woulda, shoulda, coulda. That's just not me. So every morning I wake up, I'm motivated because of the fact is I enjoy the prosperity of life.
So you realize that waking up is an opportunity that God gives you.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of people go to sleep and they never wake up. Let me ask you, because you mentioned something prior to answering that question, and thank you so much for answering that question. You mentioned about success. What's your definition, Coach K, of success?
My definition of success is this, and I'm going to put it to you like this. It's just love. See, it's that simple. It's love. It's that love for God, you know, that agape love that God has for you. It's love. You got to love you as well. You got to love your family. You got to love life. You have to love life. You have to. You have to love your neighbors. You have to love people. You have to love the fact that you can walk, you can talk, you can run, you can jump. You have to love it. And you know something, when I talk about love, you have to understand something. That love that you give to others will come back to you. See, it's the same thing as sowing and reaping of that seed.
So
you
let
plant
me
that
ask,
seed, you water it, it'll come back to you.
Let me ask you this question. What is, to you, as a successful salesperson, what, if there is a difference, what is your difference between wealth and success? Because you just said that success is merely love for God, love for yourself, your family, your community, etc., etc. What is the difference in your estimation between wealth and success?
Honestly, wealth, it goes right along with love to me. Now, there's the monetary value and there's the wealth of that love that you receive from God and your family. And your friends.
So, do you think then that wealth is only directly connected to monetary gain
not
or value?
Not at all. Because you know what? Here's the thing. I can take you back to the days where we had no food in the house. But you know what? The wealth of that laughter or the good time we had together,
it
brought out joy in your heart. Because, yeah, you know what? I love getting $10,000 checks. But you know what? You know what's more important to me? That laugh that I have with my children, my wife, my, you know, my family, going to family picnics, enjoying life. That's the, you know, monetary value. You know what? Pays your bills.
Mm-hmm.
It pays
mm-hmm.
your bills. And yeah. if you're making enough money, guess what? You can go do things. But
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to it, that love of family, that love that God gives you, the understanding of the appreciation of what God has given you and taking it and running with that vision alone, oh, my gosh, I don't know where to start.
Yeah, I thank you for stating the definition, because there are a lot of wealthy people out there who don't have a fat bank account. But when you look on the values and morals and the impact they are putting in people's lives and the community, the way they invest in the development of the community's children, they
yes.
are wealthy. So I thank you for saying that. You have 9 minutes, Coach K, to
okay.
give your closing thoughts. When we
okay.
sit back today, how do you want us to reminisce on you and this conversation that you and I are having? You have 9 minutes to do that. Just give us your closing thoughts, please.
Sure. And before I do that, may I just answer this question for Pastor Verence, because I know she's been asking. Would be some. She was stating about speaking, becoming a speaker. Well, I'm going to tell you like this, Pastor V. Real quick, this is what I want you to understand. And everyone out there, if you're going to become a speaker, prepare to go to battle first. And what I mean by that is prepare to get yourself ready for success. The same way David went up against Goliath. Remember, David was not that big. Goliath was this big oaf. But guess what? He reminded everybody, he said, you know something? You can be as tall as you want, but you're not bigger than my God. So when I say this, prepare yourself for the battle. Get ready. Put your clothes on. Get your war cry on, and let's go out there to battle, because in order for you to become a speaker, you have to understand what are you speaking about. You have to understand who you're speaking to. You have to understand your joy for speaking, because if you don't have a joy for what you do, you're going to go in there and you're going to become one of these ho-hum speakers that's like, la-di-da. No, you're going to go in there with the energy that God has given you to bring joy to this world. So if you're going to start out, remember, prepare for battle, because there are going to be a lot of things you need to understand and know in order to get there. The same way you have to learn how to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run is the exact same thing you're going to have to do in life, especially becoming a speaker.
Okay. Well, thank you for seeing that. I didn't see that question, so thank you for being here.
It was coming by so fast. I just happened to catch it. So, but what I would like for everyone to remember is this is it right here, the energy, the positive energy. See, we can deal with drama. We can deal with negative. We can deal with all of that. Think about the energy that's in here, because I can tell you right now, the energy I feel is love. The energy I feel is positive. Because you know what? I have minds that are just like mine. We're all on the same wavelength. So it's one of those things where in the military, unisons. Paul Lawrence Vann will tell you about this. When you go into that unisons of the marching or the double time, which is running, is left, 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 right, left. Everyone's on the same page. Even when they're using their rifles, when you go into that cadence of the rifles, it sounds like one click and not a whole bunch of pops. So remember this, the energy. See, they say negativity is contagious. Well, guess what? So is the positive side. So instead of us utilizing the negative, let's utilize the positive. Because guess what's going to happen? The greater energy is going to come out and the truth is going to prevail.
Okay. Coach K, I forgot to ask you this question, and it's something I want to know. Who are some of your mentors?
Well, I got quite a few in here already. D.A. Williams, Paul Lawrence Vann, Pastor Variance, Angel Eyes, CeCe, my goodness, Miss Mika, even one of mine. I don't know Lorna, but you know what? It's always a pleasure to meet new people. Connie Colbert is a big, you know, influence on me. Now, also, on the outside, I go through the Bible.
Do you yourself have a coach?
Yeah, God. That's my coach now. My trainer with a person by the name of Carlos Martinez, who actually got me out of the realm of being a follower because he knew I was a leader. And let me tell you something. I thank God, man, to this day, but that was pretty much my trainer because he saw the potential in me. And that was my trainer. But I've learned from everyone from Dave Thomas, which is the owner of Wendy's. He passed on. I've learned from Donald Trump. I've learned from Les Brown. I've learned from Jack Canfield. I've learned from, oh, my goodness. I got a list. Pastor Creflo Dalla, Benny Hinn. Listen, I learned from so many people, I can't even name just, like, a handful.
Right.
Because,
no,
you know
but,
what? Education is important, and it's hard for me to understand where to go with that one.
Yeah, because I ask you about mentor because, like, you know, as successful business people, we all have mentors and coaches. We have people we admire their work and read their material. And I just asked that question to find out whether or not you personally were working with any mentor or coaches. You have 3 minutes in which to summarize your thoughts, please. I want
okay.
to thank you for being so generous with your time and for coming on and,
oh,
and
thank you.
Open and blessing the viewers. So you have
you.
3 minutes, please, to give your closing thoughts.
Okay. Well, just remember, like I always say, God, family, business throughout. And I'm going to tell you like this, you want to enjoy the prosperities of life, then trust me on this one, God, family, and business. You can't go wrong with it. If you understand the love that I have for God and the love that God has for you and I, you will know where I'm coming from with this. And go out there, help me motivate this world because we all need a little love, we all need a little joy. And you know what? I may have problems, you may have problems, but you know what? Someone out there has worse problems than you and I. And we can focus on the negative, but we can also look at that little light at the end of the tunnel. Because guess what? At that light at the end of the tunnel, there's the land of milk and honey. Enjoy life, enjoy the prosperity of life, and have fun with everything that you do. Live life to the fullest. Don't live it to the short end. If you're going to go to the 10th floor, go to the 10th and not the 9th. So make it happen. Have fun. Remember, I'm your Coach K of life. I love each and every one of you. And as I always state, I'm on a mission to motivate the world, not for a moment, but for a lifetime. And I do appreciate my Coach K Nation and all of those who will join me in the near future as we run with this vision. Thank you very much, Daphne. You are a blessing. I truly appreciate you. God is going to continue to bless your hand.
Thank you so much, and you continue doing God's work, Coach K. You have a blessed day, and I pray that you'll stick around.
Oh, I'm sticking around, yes, for this one, because you have an awesome guest right behind me, so I'm not going anywhere.
Yes. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day, my brother. Good morning, Leslie.
How are you, Daphne?
I am so blessed and highly favored. I thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. You know, I have been following your work for many years, and after I ask you to do your introduction, I'm going to share my story with the first time I read The Jackrabbit Factor. So I want to welcome you, Leslie, to the A New Day show and for being so gracious in accepting my invitation to be here. Would you please take this opportunity and just introduce yourself to the listeners? And we have quite a few people in the chat room. I'm not sure how many of them are familiar with your work, but please take a few minutes and familiarize yourself with the listeners.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, it's funny because I think back, where did I come from? All my life, all I wanted to do was to be a mother and enjoy the blessings that come from motherhood. And it's ironic because I was the youngest in my family. I didn't have any little brothers or sisters, and maybe that's why I wanted to have children so badly, because I enjoyed little ones, and my family lived in Asia for many years during the age that most girls babysit. So I can count on one hand probably how many times I ever babysat. Now, it's interesting, too, because I had no experience with children, so when I did have children, it was a little bit of a shock to my system at how demanding it was. But I knew that somewhere through the challenges, there was the greatest joys to be had, and I was determined to find that. And when my husband and I married, we had decided that when the children came along, I would stay home with them. That's what I wanted. That's what he wanted for his children as well. And so it was agreement, and we married. And at the time, we could not afford to be married, but, you know, we believed that God would provide the way. So after about 1 year, we had our first baby, and I put my trust in the Lord and said, we have decided we're just going to make this sacrifice. We'll figure it out. And a year later after that, we were deep in debt. We hadn't been before. We were deep in debt. And my husband lost his job, and it forced me back to work. And, you know, I have to admit, it was a very, very hard time for me. I began to wonder for the first time if there was a God. I had never questioned it before in my life. I felt like I was mourning the loss of a dear friend to even question it. But I would drop my children, I had the one baby, I'd drop him off at daycare in the morning when it was still dark, and I'd pick him up again at the end of the day when it was dark again, and it just was a depressing time. And so we had some friends who told us that, you know, you really ought to come with us to these seminars. It will help you with your thinking. It will help you be able to prosper. And so we started going to seminars, and we could tell from the things we learned that, wow, we have a lot to learn. You know, positive thinking instead of griping and all these things. But it had become so cliche that I lacked belief that it would make any kind of difference. But there was something about what we were learning that kept us coming back month after month after month. And we literally attended more than 100 seminars in the next 7 years. And it was enough to keep me from just throwing in the towel altogether. It kept me hopeful, but nothing really changed. And finally, one day, I was at one of my darkest moments, and I had two children at the time, and we were in a small two-bedroom apartment, and it was not in a good neighborhood, and I just decided, you know what, I am tired of this. I can't keep hoping. I can't justify going to any more seminars. I think I'll just go to bed, and if I can't have the life I want in reality, I'll just pretend like I have it and live in a dream world. And I was beating myself up for being so pathetic, you know. And
Having a pity party.
A pity party. And this was a big one. I remember thinking about all the seminar speakers who had told me, dream big, think positive, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, fine, I will. So I'm going to bed, and I'm going to dream big and think positive in my sleep. And what I didn't realize is that what I did that day, where I thought it was something wrong, was exactly what they'd been telling me to do all along, but I hadn't had any belief that it would make a difference.
Yes.
So within a year, and you know, at that time I was picturing myself in a home of my own, and the children running in from behind me and having a yard and all these different things. And a year later, we were living that experience. And I had I didn't see a connection between the two until another 2 years, where we were broke at a higher level. I was depressed again. I was at a point in my mentality where I snapped when, you know, at one point I even called the police on a neighbor kid who broke my broom. This is where I was coming from. And so anyway, along comes another seminar, and I was fed up again, and I told my husband, you know what, this is the last one I'll go to, and that's it. If nothing changes, I'm so done, and I'm just going to have to figure out how to be happy the way things are. And so we went. We went, and something changed in our hearts that day. We realized the connection between what we were doing wrong and our results, and it was so simple. We turned to each other, and our mouths dropped open, and we're like, "Is that all it is? It's so simple." And we came home and in 3 months tripled our income.
My God.
And
you know, Leslie, before we continue our conversation, I want to point out to the listeners and both the people in the chat room on the phones and everything. We have a few people here online, and I want to take their questions in between so we don't miss anybody.
Sure.
But I want to point out to them that you and your husband had gotten $1,000 for your wedding present.
Mm-hmm.
And when you started off this investment in yourself, you took that $1,000 out the bank and you invested it in seminars.
Yes.
You then turned to your credit cards and you accumulated thousands upon thousands of dollars just going to these different seminars. And I wanted to point this out to listeners because you know something? There are a lot of people, Leslie, who want a microwave result. They want it now. They want it bad. They want it now. And they refuse to read a book, even from a free library book from the library. They don't want to buy a DVD or they don't want to do a tape.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to just let people understand the importance. If you want it bad enough, you got to invest in yourself.
It's really the
you
only investment that you can depend on.
Yes. Let me go to these two callers and see if they have a question for you, Leslie,
sure.
Please. Caller with your area code 775, do you have a question or you're just listening? I guess that one is just listening.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, your area code is 773. Do you have a I guess they are just listening. So
let us
continue our conversation. And you need to tell the listeners how many children you have, Leslie.
I have seven now.
Seven, I notice you say now. So am I to think they are planned for more?
No, I have discovered my mortal limits.
I said that because I realized when I looked at the picture and everything, I said, man, they really love children. I look and I see all the love, not only in your face and your husband's face, but also in the children. There's so much love.
Well, in that
go ahead.
In that picture, my two-year-old wasn't feeling much love, but usually she does.
You know, I mentioned that I wanted to share my story about my first encounter with your work. I used to have a client. I used to be companion to a lady a couple of years ago. And I was flicking. I used to do the 11 to 7 shift. And during my night shift, I was flicking through and looking for some stuff to read and all of that. And that was my first encounter with the Jack Rabbit Factor. I read it. And I was crying. And then I went up to change my client, and I was still crying. And she thought I was sick. She asked me what was wrong. And I mentioned about what it is I read and how it had touched my heart and everything. And she said, oh, she could not believe that I read something that was having me in tears so much. So then she said to me, can you print it for me so I could read it? So then the next day when I got home, I printed it and brought it for her, and she read it, and she was in tears.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, Leslie, I'm not ashamed to say I've been addicted to your work. And I just want to thank you for the work and the commitment that you have put into each of our lives.
Thank you.
Let us go forward now. Thousands of dollars in debt. You have both invested into going to hundreds of seminars, 100 seminars to be exact. And that's a number. I don't know if there's anybody else in the world who can say they have honestly gone to 100 seminars to invest in themselves over a seven-year period. So that I applaud you for that.
Let us now...
talk about the Jack Rabbit Factor.
Okay.
Because that was kind of your first piece of work that you got known by, right?
Well, you know, it's a little bit backwards. We, after about 6 months of this breakthrough, we had started to have a savings of up to about $9,000 in the bank, and we had never had a savings like that before. And an inquiry came out from the seminar company that said, have you ever thought about teaching what you'd learned? And I had never wanted a career. I told you I just wanted to be mom, but there was something inside of me that had to do this. It was a duty, I felt like, if I had been given such a gift that it was my responsibility to share it. And so I began to teach seminars. At the time I had 5 children, and it was very time-consuming and difficult to put them together and reach out to audiences, most of all because the people who knew me knew where we came from, and who am I to teach them how to do better? So I struggled with that for a couple of years, and finally, you know, decided that with another child on the way, I needed to find a way to get the message out without doing seminars so that I wouldn't feel guilty. So I first actually wrote a series of articles for my good friend Marnie Pearson. She is the owner of ideamarketers.com and shelovesgod.com, and she had met me through the internet, and I had helped her with some money questions that she was having, and she asked me to write a series of articles for her readers. And So I did an article a week for about 8 weeks on the laws, and then that ended up being compiled into what is now Hidden Treasures, Heaven's Astonishing Help with Your Money Matters. That was actually the first thing, and we were making that available as an e-book for a while, and I realized that that's kind of meaty. It's a little more advanced, and people needed something to warm them up to understanding it. And so that's when I decided to write The Jackrabbit Factor in a story that would help people get to a place where hidden treasures would make sense. And people ask, so, you know, why did you write the book? And I said, well, so I can sleep at night. Because it kept me awake. I knew it had to happen. And when it was released, it was a bestseller. And ironically, you know, I wrote the book so that I wouldn't have to do seminars at the time. Not that I didn't enjoy them. I just didn't have the bandwidth to do it. And when it became a bestseller, all of a sudden there was a demand for seminars that wasn't there before. And I thought, well, that kind of backfired. But it did make it easier to get my message to other families who were struggling.
Yes, it helped you to build credibility and gave you visibility.
Yes.
You know? It's like, you know, you tell people all the time, don't be in a rush. Just work on building your credibility, adding value, and serving. Because once you do all those things, there is no way God will not compensate you. But I think we just get into a get quick rich scenario where we want it all now, with the microwave result, and a lot of times we lose our blessings. So thank you for sharing that so we can understand that our successes will come so long as we pay our duty and do the things that God wants us to do.
Yes.
Leslie, let us talk about some of the feedbacks that you have received.
Oh, you know, If there were to be a comparison between the money that comes from helping people or the feedback that you get, I thrive and live on the feedback every day. Every day we get emails telling us how the book and how our work has changed lives, how it's saved lives, how it's saved marriages, how it has given people wings, and that is so gratifying. And, you know, my husband and I, even after releasing the book, we have made mistakes, and we're not perfect, and sometimes we've had to face challenges that were difficult, as life provides. You know, no matter where you get, there will always be challenges to overcome. And I remember at one point looking at each other and saying, you know what, if we were to lose everything, you know, because we'd made some real estate investments that weren't the smartest thing to do at a time where we had no business being in the real estate market, but we looked at each other and said, you know what, it doesn't matter what happens to us because this is what we do. We know how to overcome challenges. We don't promise that we're going to take away or make it so that people never have another challenge, but we do have the tools to help them come through them on top. And no matter what you face, there is the other side of it, and we can help you get to it. And we have tested the principles ourselves time and time again, even since the book came out, and they are as true as ever. And I've learned that no matter what goal you set and no matter how many times you've achieved a goal using these principles, the next goal will stretch you. No matter how good you get, no matter how many times you've seen it worked, the part of the process is that it must stretch you. That is part of the equation. That's part of the formula. And so I am stretched every day, even still. But I have confidence knowing that we're going to win. I have confidence knowing that on the other side of it, we will conquer because we've done it time and time and time again, and we know the principles that get you to that point. And thank heavens for the challenges, because if we'd stopped having them, we'd stop growing, and it's only through growth that we're really happy. So, Daphne, did I lose you?
Hello, Leslie.
Are you there? Did I lose you?
No. Yes, we had some technical difficulty. The blog system kicked me out.
Oh.
But now we are back.
Are you there now? I heard a click. I'm wondering if I'm the one being heard or if I'm the one that was kicked out. See if I can figure this out. Because I'm not sure if the listeners are hearing me or if you're hearing Daphne. If you're hearing me, I just wanted to thank you for being here today. It's always a pleasure to share my story, and I hope it helps somebody have the courage and the hope that things can turn around if you're having challenges. I am trying to figure out where I go into the chat. I don't know. I don't understand what I'm looking at.
Leslie?
Yes, there you are.
Yes, this technology is playing games this morning. Okay, we are back on the air. Are you there?
I am.
Okay, where were we? I was asking you to share some of the stories that you receive, feedbacks that you receive from people who, what they have benefited from your work, right?
Yes. And I'm not sure how much you heard, because I didn't
know
it cut
kicked,
off.
It kicked me out. So just continue, because I am praying that their system was recording while they kicked me out. So
okay.
Just well, please continue.
So just a couple of specific examples. There was a contest for the world's best job just a few months ago. Queensland, Australia was putting this together. They were looking for an applicant to give them, they were going to give them a job that was going to be six-figure income to live on an island paradise and be the ambassador for tourism of Queensland for 6 months. And there were 34,000 applicants, and the winner of that contest attributes their success to the Jackrabbit Factor. And that was exciting because I had never met the person. He was from England, and I only heard about it because someone in Canada had overheard it on Canada's version of Good Morning America. They were interviewing him, and he mentioned the book. And so that was a rewarding day. It just made me like... You know, this is going to help other people recognize the power of the story. And it really comes down, for those who have not read it, it really comes down to being able to recognize, enlist, and trust the voice of inspiration or that gut instinct in your life.
Yes.
That, you know, the instructions on how to success, they're going to be different for each person because each person is at a different place in their
That's
life.
Right.
So you've really
That's
got
right.
to look inward and find that little voice that kind of steers the way in an almost imperceptible way, and there's very specific things you can do to trigger that in your life and make it a part of your existence. And it's just an amazing process, and I'm just so grateful to have been made aware of it and that I'm able to share it. And by the way,
you know,
the Jackrabbit Factor is a free download. Anybody can read it at no charge at jackrabbitfactor.com.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a great thing you just said, Leslie, about each of our successes, because we are all unique. We are on different journeys. We start at different places. But the important thing is that we continue from where we are. And some of us, we can just continue the journey. And for others, we have to go back from the beginning and start over. But it really doesn't matter, so long as we understand why we are on this journey and what God has set us out to do.
Yes.
Are you there?
I am here.
We are having just a lot of technical difficulties here. Are you? Yes.
I am here, and I'll be here.
Yes. Okay, so that was an amazing story from someone in England who applied the principles that was set out in the Jackrabbit Factor and got an amazing, amazing result. And that was the result that person needed. But regardless of the result that we all need, it can work in our lives just the same.
For small goals as well as big goals, I mean, that's a pretty big goal. I think a lot of people wouldn't even aspire to do what he did. But the other feedback we've received is a family whose son really, really loved music and wanted to go to this Philharmonic concert, and
yes,
they couldn't afford the tickets were about $50 or $60 or something, and they heard on the radio that they were going to give away the tickets to the 10th caller, and
mm-hmm.
they just applied the principles from the book, and they got those tickets. And I know that sounds shallow, it sounds trite, but what it comes down to is, what is it that you want?
That's
most?
Right.
What do you need right now? Do you need to find your car keys? It'll help you
That's
do that.
Right. That's right. It is there for you, and you just need to apply the principles and believe that it's going to work. If it is to be, it's up to you. So what sacrifices and commitments are you willing to take to have these things work in your life? This, I tell you something, I'm still amazed by that. And as you said, Leslie, is that you can download it for free. There is no charge. And for all the people who are in the chat room, and if you're listening on the phone, I apologize, because I think what happened, we have completely lost cable or something. I am only on the phone now. I'm not on the switchboard. I do not know if anybody is calling, so I'm doing my best. And, you know, if this doesn't work out to your advantage, I think we'll just have to have Leslie back on. But we are going to do our best.
I would love
what
to
I can do here to do, get the chat room back up and everything. But we will continue until the end on the phone, but I know people inside the chat room have burning questions, and I apologize that we cannot get it, because there's some technology thing going on here, and I don't know what it is. So we will just continue in conversation, Leslie.
Thank you. I would, I'd love to come back sometime.
Yes, I definitely set that up, because we know when we're working with technology, we just have to lay hands on them and lift them up in the name of Jesus, that they will perform the way that they were ordained to perform. So we are going to have just a great time here. Now, you also have a promotion that you're doing now where people can take advantage of bundles of different work that you have put together.
Oh, yes. In fact, we only just sent that out last night
Yeah.
around 10. We have the Family Time and Money Freedom Home Study Program. Again, like I said, after the book came out, I started doing seminars again and started teaching a lot of people in person, and again felt like I needed to reclaim some family time and create a program that was better than the live seminar, because when you have a home study program, this one is actually designed to take you at least 12 weeks, and there is only so much information you can digest in 3 days, but there is so much that you can learn and apply and experience in 12 weeks, and actually a lot of people take about a year to complete the process just so that they can take it all in. It's the FTMF program, Family Time, Money, Freedom, and normally it's $847. We've added a ton of extra bonuses to add the value. Actually, the total value of everything put together is about $3,000, which is, you know, we've attended seminars that cost us more than $3,000, and I guarantee there is more in this program than we ever received in anything like that. So it's half off right now. We've never offered it at half off before with all these bonuses combined. One of the bonuses that we've never included this way before is the program called Working with the Seven Laws of Success. It answers the questions, you know, what does it mean when I apply the principles or when I try to use the law of attraction or however you want to call it, and things start to go worse instead of better? What does that mean? What do I do with that? It answers those questions because there is an answer to that, and there is exactly something that you need to do when that happens in order for you to be able to succeed. That program, it's 8 CDs that cover all 7 laws plus the bonus law of the vacuum law of prosperity, which it's one of my favorites. It's one that you can apply today and see quick results. That program is $189 by itself. We're throwing those in for free as MP3 downloads, something we've never made available before. And again, half off, there's never been a better time to get started with a program that will transform your life at no risk. You can look at it for 30 days and see if you don't believe it's going to make a big difference, and return it for, you know, a refund. So the place you go to take a look at that, and it explains everything about it. I won't take the time to explain it here, but take a look at prosperyourfamily.com.
And give them your contact information as well now, and then we are going to go back into conversation, because I have no visibility of the switchboard and everything.
Sure.
So I'm still working on see whether or not we can get those back. So I want you to please give out your contact information, and then we'll continue our conversation, Leslie.
Yes. You know, the best way to reach me is at jackrabbitfactor.com. There is a little button at the bottom that says contact, and that's where you can reach me.
Okay. Thank you so much, and I pray that some of the listeners will see value into obtaining that material to get them to where they need to be. Okay. Now, Leslie, you, in the beginning, when you just got married and you were going through those challenging times and things wasn't working for you, did you encounter an aha moment that turned things around for you?
Oh, absolutely. That's, you know what, and actually all those years that we were attending seminars, I had an aha moment every time. And what I realized is that, you know, just because I had an aha moment didn't mean my life was going to change. But what I've realized since is that success is like opening a combination lock that has several dials, and you know those number locks that you have to dial three different things, whatever, to line them up. Every time I had an aha moment, it was like putting one of those dials into place. The lock didn't open with that one aha moment, but one at a time, putting them each in place, I was that much closer. And there did come a day where the final dial got put into place and the lock sprung open. And that's why I encourage everybody to invest in yourself, read another book, go to another seminar, or listen to another call like this, because every time you have an aha moment, it's putting into place the next dial. There's a finite number of dials that need to be put into place for you before it will spring open.
That's right. And for some of us, it's 2, some it's 3.
Some it's 100.
And for some it might be 100 because it depends on how much investment you have done with yourself. You know? So for each of us, it's different. But the important thing is that you keep putting these different things into place. Because you never know when it's going to hit and when it's going to pop open. So you have to... Yes.
You have to have faith in the process and just keep walking. And so long as you have something you can do, it's not over. You have a roof over your head. You have a telephone. You have, you know, by many people's standard, you're already rich. And so
exactly.
Mhm.
That's right, because you know, a couple weeks ago we had Dr. Miles Monroe on, and he was talking about overcoming crisis, his new book. And he shared a story about a lady who walked in his office a couple of years ago and said to him that she had lost her job. And he said to her, good. And she was not very happy that he made that statement. And she said, what do you mean, good? He said to her, do you have an oven? And she said, yes. And he asked her how often she uses the oven. She said, on Sundays. So he said, well, now start use it every day. Get some flour, get some sugar and butter and water, and make some cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And to fast forward to now, when he shared her story in the book, she was a multimillionaire. She now hires 17 people because she has the cookie factory. And she handed him a check for $10,000, thanking him for helping her to see the way. So
wow.
I know there is a cookie maker in all of us, you know.
just
have to stick it out and believe in ourselves.
I love it. Sometimes you have to get to the end of everything before you discover that hidden nugget within you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
honestly, that has been my experience more than once. To get to the very end of all I can see and then discover that only there does God show me the next step.
Exactly. And I personally, Leslie, what I have encountered is that I had to separate myself from certain of my associations
mm-hmm.
because I know God created me for a purpose. And I have been in the molding phase of my life for a while. And I realize that every time I still myself, I get clarity on what God wants me to do and where he wants to take me and all of that. And I notice that over the years, my associations with the love and concern that they have for me have often tried to derail me. Off the track that God has me on with things like, you know, but why don't you get a real job with benefits and all of that and, you know.
Yeah.
And they love you and care about you so much. So instead of hurting their feelings, you have to lovingly separate yourselves. I don't know whether or not you had any of that encounter in your time.
Oh, yes. And in fact, I'd like to share with you a really quick story that helps you understand why that's so important. And I'm just pulling it up, so we'll keep talking until I find it.
Yes. It's important. And I apologize for the people who are in the chat room. I cannot get your question. I cannot get the call. But I am praying that before Leslie leaves today, we can decide on a time to have her back so that we can just give you what you deserve and get your questions and take your phone calls, because I know that the chat room is probably bursting at its seams with questions right now. But we love technology, but there's not too much we can do without it. But I'm still thankful that the phone is on and that Leslie has agreed to continue in a conversation with me. But I'll try before she leaves to see whether or not we can announce a time for her revisit to the show.
Oh, sure.
So let me know when you're ready, Leslie.
Okay. Yeah, my Google isn't bringing it up, but I will find it.
Okay. Okay, so when you have it up, we will talk about it. I just mentioned to you some of the obstacles that I've encountered, and I realized from your reply that I was not unique at all in this way. And I think most successful people who stick it out, they have encountered that too. But you got to know in your hearts of hearts and believe that you are following through on what God has for you to do.
You know, and I'd like to throw in too that those who are listening are already being moved by that inner voice to be here.
Yes.
And whether
yes.
or not they recognized what it was that drew them to it,
mm-hmm.
that's how quiet and imperceptible it is, but to learn to trust it. And I did find this little story.
Awesome. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is from Richard Bach's book called Illusions. He says, "Once there lived a village of creatures along the bottom of a great crystal river. The current of the river swept silently over them all, young and old, rich and poor, good and evil, the current going its own way, knowing its own crystal self. Each creature, in its own manner, clung tightly to the twigs and rocks of the river bottom, for clinging was their way of life, and resisting the current, what each had learned from birth. But one creature said at last, 'I am tired of clinging. Though I cannot see it with my eyes, I trust that the current knows where it's going. I shall let go and let it take me where it will. Clinging, I shall die of boredom.' The other creatures laughed and said, 'Fool, let go and that current you worship will throw you, tumbled and smashed against the rocks, and you will die quicker than boredom.' But the one heeded them not, and taking a breath, did let go, and at once was tumbled and smashed by the current against the rocks. Yet in time, as the creature refused to cling again, the current lifted him free from the bottom, and he was bruised and hurt no more. And the creatures downstream, to whom he was a stranger, cried, 'See a miracle, a creature like ourselves, yet he flies.'"
Mm.
I get choked up every time I read that because I hear the feedback that comes to me for the things I've done, and it's almost as though people are saying, "Wow, look at her, she flies." And I tell you, it's just letting go and trusting. It's just
Leslie, don't have me crying like that. My God. This
powerful.
Would not have been read at a better time. And the one thing I want to say after hearing this, Leslie, I want to tell the listeners, follow your heart. When you get that tingling in there, follow it. Don't take it to anybody else to seek for their affirmation and approval.
Mm-hmm.
Just follow your heart. And I think everybody needs to go out and get that book. What is it, Illusion by who, Leslie?
Richard Bach. He is also the one who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And I have never read his book, Illusions, but I have only heard this quote and passed it on.
Wow. That is deep. That is deep. Oh.
Yeah. And I love the point he makes that, yes, he let go and he was smashed by the rocks, but
yes. He
refused to cling no more and in time was lifted to freedom.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's not going to necessarily be easy, but trusting in the flow in the long run is the better and more abundant way.
That's right, because they said there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And if you cling in the middle, you'll never see the light. After every rain, there's a rainbow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in us. If it has to be, it is up to us. Oh, my God. That was deep, Leslie. That was deep. That is one I will treasure again for the rest of my life. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Leslie.
If there's time before we finish, I would like to share one more thing that had the same effect on me, but we can do that near the end.
Let us just go ahead because I have no idea of what time it is, but based on my watch, we have 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yes.
We have. So we're just going to go by that until Blog Talk kicks us off. And if it's okay with you, by email, I will set up another time for you to come back real soon.
Okay.
Where we can take questions and all of that. So just go ahead. We just work it the way we are, Leslie.
Okay. You know, and I've learned that God seems to teach all of our most important lessons through symbols. And
yes.
As we can identify the messages contained in his creation, we can be at peace on our own path to prosperity and an abundant life, even in our greatest trials. And I was in my car, and an image from nature came to mind. And I had to hurry and run home and write it down because it was so powerful to me. If you picture a little acorn, imagine it's like a little person who wants to become all that its blueprint promises that it can be, just like we believe and hope that we can become the best we can be. This acorn is meant to become a grand and mighty oak, but for now it's just a simple nut dangling by a stem. Sometimes I feel like just a little nut. It hangs on the parent tree and reaches high, wanting to see the grand views sweep the vast sky with broad branches. It wants to experience the fluttering of leaves and swinging of limbs, but alas, it can barely feel the breeze slowed by the shelter of its protecting parent. Finally, the parent hears its cry and says, "Yes, little seed, I have great plans for you. You will scrape the sky and sway in the wind, and the view will be glorious. You'll provide a home for many creatures, giving shelter and food. Your friends will be many, your influence will be vast, and you'll be great and happy." The little acorn's heart swells with excitement as it stretches its rigid shell upward to receive the promised reward. But instead of enjoying the exhilaration of greatness, it is shaken from the tree and takes a long, hard fall, landing with nothing more than a slight thud. And I've been there. I've felt that promise within me that you will prosper, that you will do great things. And on the other side of that was a great fall instead. So, in fact, after he falls, there is no apparent compassion or understanding, since its terrible fall seems to go unnoticed. Its very world seems to have crashed down, and yet time marches on for everything else around it. The tiny acorn soon finds itself trampled upon, with dirt kicked rudely upon it. Eventually, it's completely buried in the dark and alone. "Have you forgotten me?" he cries, but there is no answer, no explanation, no reprieve. Instead of rescue, the rain begins to pour, and at once the buried seed believes it may just drown as well. It tries to throw its weight one way and then the other to force its way out of the ground or to find its way back to the tree, but nothing changes. It is as though it is trapped and cannot escape its doom. Weary of the fight, it surrenders to its fate. Excuse me. Holding still with a sigh, the elements around it take notice of its calm demeanor and begin to respond to its mere presence there. In fact, without any more futile struggle, it begins to notice there's a subtle change taking place within itself. It discovers that as it remains calm, it actually already has all that it needs right there in its immediate environment. It hasn't perished from being cut off from its parent as it feared it might. Though the fall was frightening and terrible, there it remains as alive and as well as before. No, it hasn't perished. Rather, it has sprouted new parts of itself from within that it didn't even know it could sprout, and the little seed begins to experience the joy that always accompanies growth and soul expansion. Though it hasn't achieved its ultimate goal, it feels good enough just to grow. After that temporary period of loneliness and fear, soon the seedling has broken through the crust of earth and can finally see the goal again, though it has never appeared to be so far away as it is now. However, in truth, it has never been closer. Be patient, little seed. You were created for the greatness that is in store for you. Allow yourself time to develop roots and keep reaching for the sun. Trust God, and success is inevitable. All you need to accomplish the goal will be yours in the right time. Just remember, peace, be still.
Be still. Be still. Because it's in the quietness that we receive clarification and all those doubts. And you know how many times we ask God the question, "Have you forgotten about me?"
Mm-hmm.
Have you forgotten about me? And you know, a couple of months ago, I was going through a turbulent time, Leslie. And to be honest, I thought within my heart, all that I do, when, and I just keep asking those when, And 3 weeks after that, every person, almost every person that I encounter, Leslie, had some message for me, telling me and affirming with me how important it is for me to wait. Just wait. I happened during that time to visit a meeting where there was a prophet, and that man didn't know me anywhere from Adam. He didn't know me. Excuse me. It was the first time he was seeing me, and he called me up and he said, God wants me to tell you that he heard your queries about when. But just be still and wait. And the tears rolled on my face, Leslie. And I said, okay, Daphne, let me remove Daphne out of the place and just, let me just be patient and keep on Father's business. And each of us have time in our lives when we question. But I want to thank you for sharing that reading with us now and to let us know it is okay to be patient. It is even okay to be asking when, so long as when we get the reply from him, when it is, we will obey those rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is an answer.
Every question
has an answer.
Yeah, always is an answer.
And, you know, I have also learned that God has all the answers, but he doesn't provide them until we ask the right question.
Exactly.
Sometimes we're asking the wrong questions, and there is no answer to a wrong question that, I don't know, I don't even have an example, but life's experiences take us to a place where we begin asking the right question, and then
we get the result.
He has to create a space in our heart for the answer.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. There's not room in our hearts for all of his answers yet, and so through experience, he creates places in our heart.
And you know, Leslie, when we think we are ready, we are not halfway there. He knows when we are ready, and he is just going to just give us the reply that we need when he knows that we are ready, right?
Yep. He doesn't always come when you want him to, but he's never late.
Always on time. He's always on time. Leslie, how do you maintain your focus and inspiration?
You know, I can't say that I always do.
Okay.
I go, like I said, I just, my inspiration, my guidance comes from need or desire or something that if I want something different for my family, that's a desire that creates a need that gets me asking questions and seeking answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not trying to go anywhere or accomplish anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
your inspiration bank is going to probably be very low. It's for a person who allows themselves to dream big, to pay attention to those thoughts and feelings in your heart that says you were created for greatness. You were created to make
right.
a difference in this world. There
That's
is something
right.
you have to offer, and your experiences and your challenges that you are trying to overcome now become value for other people who are also trying to find answers. So
mm-hmm.
it's your duty to solve those problems, to find your way out so that you can show the way for others and create bridges for other people. That's what will bring you so much fulfillment in life. That is what will make it so that when you are on the last day of your life, you can think back with gratitude for the work that God was able to do through you because you were willing to be determined to find the solutions, that you had an expectation that you would not give up until you did. And
mm-hmm.
even if it takes until the day, your last day on earth to solve the problem, are you committed to
mm-hmm.
solving it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Leslie, you are known all over the world, and you work alongside some of America's best. You were part of The Secret as well?
No, I was not part of The Secret, but one of the teachers of The Secret was a mentor of mine since the year 2000.
Oh, okay. But I know that you work alongside some of the greatest people. But I'm going to go out on the limb in saying that your success has not been without struggles and challenges.
Oh, no.
So would you like to share with us some of those challenges that you have encountered, but however, you still stuck it out?
Well, one big struggle for me was at a time when I had, and I have had many, many mentors over the year, and I don't want to discount that, but I remember at one time where a mentor of mine, I had this person up on a very, very high pedestal, and as I got to know them, and I learned so much, and my life changed so much because of things I'd learned from this person, and then, you know, some things happened that were very disappointing and made it very difficult for me because the mentor had fallen off the pedestal. And through that experience, I learned that the greatest guidance you'll ever receive is from your own heart. And sometimes your heart will lead you to a teacher. And that's perfectly in line with God's plan. And but you need to understand that the teacher is not who you should idolize ever.
That's right.
And that was a hard lesson, you know, for me to feel like this person had done so much good. How could they do or say that? And it was hard to pick myself up. I began to wonder if everything I had learned was false. And I just had to realize, you know, no, this is just a person who was moved to do and say the things that they've done and said. And honestly, in hindsight, I look back on that, and I wonder if that person allowed themselves to fall off the pedestal in front of me to teach me a lesson that maybe it was on purpose. I mean, this person was brilliant enough that I wouldn't put it past them. But it was a hard lesson for me to learn and to find my own wings and listen to my own voice and trust it more than I trusted. You know, I will listen to other people's advice, but I will always check it against my own feelings.
That's right. That's right. Because what you just share, a lot of people and churches go through that same experience.
Yes.
Because I was having a conversation with a woman not too long ago, and she used to worship at the same church I worship, and I had not seen her in a while. So I asked her what happened, and she said to me she was no longer coming to the church because the senior pastor allowed other pastors to preach at the main service. And I asked her the question. I said, are you coming to worship and praise God? Are you worshiping? And I called the pastor's name. Because people put human beings on this pedestal, and that if they're going to reach heaven, it has to be through that person. And we have to understand that we should learn lessons from people. And we should separate the lessons from who the individual is. Because as human beings, we are going to do stuff that people are not really accepting of us, about us, because they so have us on high pedestal.
Right.
Which was the situation in your case. And thank you, Leslie, for sharing that. How important, Leslie, it is for an individual to have a mentor or a coach in their career lives?
You know, I'm going to answer this honestly, and I don't know if it's exactly what you hope I will say, but I think that a person needs to have a vision of a better self for them, you know, a place where they are trying to aspire to go or become or do, and then wait upon God to show them the way. Sometimes he will lead them to a coach or a mentor. And I think we should always look to other people who have what we want and try to learn lessons that they have learned. It can save us a lot of time. And be willing to look to someone who can give you a new perspective on what you are experiencing. And sometimes it takes someone on the outside to show it to you. and it can become so obvious so quickly. Sometimes, and you'll know this in your heart, you might say, right now, I need to look inward and just follow the inspiration that I am getting on my own, or I'm going to speak that, or I'm going to go to scripture or other books that can help me. But I believe, and this has been a pattern for centuries, and you can find this in all of the ancient works, that people are ministered to and encouraged and strengthened and shown the way by other people. God uses other people to help his children. And so it's, you know, I'm not going to say everybody needs to go get a coach today unless they're feeling like, you know, I need a coach. And it's because God is going to put that into their heart. You need to find the next teacher that I have lined up for you.
That's right. That's right. And this, that's a great answer, Leslie, because for me, what my coaches and mentors do for me is allow me to stretch. They are not making my decisions. They allow me to stretch and help me to come up with a plan B, C, or D with the original plan that we started the conversation when we started the conversation, because they are actually, to me, they are a sounding board versus an advisor.
Right.
And as you say, in each of our hearts, we know what we need. And you have to listen to your heart. But I know there are some people who, they don't have the support in their families and all of that, and they need somebody to help them stretch or, you know, to put their goals in priority.
Right.
How do you, over the years, Leslie, how do you select your mentors?
I make a list. I make a list of the qualities of a person and experiences, and I haven't always done this, but this has been my process more recently. Before, it was just, you know, someone was placed in my path and it felt right. But more recently, where I was feeling an emptiness and I was reaching out and searching for someone who could help me in the place I was at, I remember one time I made a list that I wanted it to be someone who was aspiring to do great things, someone who had a large family, who had a lot of children, who was a mother, who believed as I did spiritually. I wanted to find out if there was anybody out there who was trying to do all the things I was doing, because at the time my mentors were businessmen or women who had a career but not a family, or, you know, and I thought, who's out there like me who has done something like this?
Is there anybody else in the world like me?
And it took me 6 months to a year, but all of a sudden about 10 people with that description fell into my life, and I had a whole support
team.
That's
something.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? What they say, put it out to the universe and it will be supplied.
Yes.
What is your take on journaling, Leslie?
Oh, it's vital. Oh, my word. You know, journaling, and whether it's in a blog or it's in a regular journal or whatever it is, whenever you face a challenge, just get it out on paper, even in all its ugliness. I used to tell people only write positive things, but I now say let it all out. Get it out. Give it release. But always, always, always end it with optimism, saying, yes, all of that happened, but I am determined to find the way through this. I look forward to my victory. Always end it with expectation of positive.
Okay, Leslie, I just heard something that we have 90 seconds, so we use all of the time up. I am going to send you an email later on so we can decide on a date to have you back.
Okay.
Thank you for being generous with your time, and for the listeners and the people in the chat room, I apologize for the technical glitch. But I know Leslie will be back to share with you and take your questions. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you for your support. And Leslie, I thank you, and we will be communicating by email later on.
Thank you, Daphne.
And I pray that you'll be back soon enough. Just keep doing God's work, my sister.
And you too.
Thank you much. And for the listeners in the on the phone and the people in the chat room, remember you have a destiny. Follow it. I hope there is something that you have heard from Leslie today that can help you to accomplish all the wonderful things that God has set out for you to do. And I'll see you again on the 29th.
Excellent.